The first thing I want to do is thank you very, very much for coming in and joining me this afternoon. There's just so much good competition out there today. Three of the folks who are speaking in the other rooms, I have their books up behind me on my shelf in my office. And two of the folks, I won't tell you which two, are primary influences in how I trade and how I think. And God bless you for taking the time to come and join this session today. I think I'll do everything I possibly can to make it worth your while. So I really, really appreciate you being here. I really, really do. The setup. We have to take a couple minutes. It's very hard for me when I talk to a new group to always start at the beginning. I feel much better every time I talk, talking about something a little bit different. But if I start out somewhere in the middle, I may lose folks who don't know me that well, who haven't spent any time at Hard Right Edge, who haven't heard me or written or seen some of the things that I've written over the last few years. So I need to take some time to give you a little bit of background to what we're going to talk about before we start looking at a lot of types of common and original trade setups. And we'll spend the last hour and 15 minutes doing that. But I want to take 15 or 20 minutes to give you a condensed version of the insanity that I see inside of my eyes when it comes to the stock markets. I don't know if folks could tell me, has anybody ever seen me before, knows me at all from other programs? Have you ever, Day Traders USA or other places? Most of you folks probably aren't too familiar with my approach to the markets, the way Hard Right Edge operates, and what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about something a little bit different. We're going to take an approach that's a little bit different, and we have to take a big step back in order to do that. The best place to start is to talk about our illusions. Talk about the world that we think we're in versus the world that you as traders need to pass through and wake up into in order to succeed in the markets. The world's changed so much. The financial worlds have changed so much over the past 3 years, 4 years. You go back to about 1990, and we're talking about trading knowledge and the opportunity for you to access trading knowledge. Trading knowledge for so many decades was held by a middleman that we called the market guru. The market guru was just like the market maker, a middle person that raised the door between you and information. The market guru, the matrix, the illusion, and if you saw the movie, I don't know how many did, in the movie, a certain individual has to wake up from a dream world to find out that really he was being manipulated by an illusion for many, many years, and that all of mankind was being manipulated. Pretty good science fiction. When it comes to pattern setups, when it comes to stock market setups, there's an awful lot of manipulation that goes on, and I don't want to say it in a negative way, because you know I'm guilty of the same thing as a lot of my colleagues are. We like to call setups fancy names, make up nice names for things. And you know all the names that are out there. I've got them, the Seven Bells, the Dip Trip, and Coiled Spring, and Third Watch, and this and that classic, and that and this, Hole in the Wall. We make up names for things in order to identify different aspects of the markets. And those names represent opportunities. Now, if you go back many, many years, you'll see that a lot of market insiders, market gurus, have made a lot of money by selling the public those pieces of the market, grabbing a little piece here, grabbing a little piece there, presenting it to you and saying, look what I have. You just do this little thing right here, trade this way, take this recipe out of this cookbook, and you'll make some money. That barrier is starting to break by the absolute flood of information that you're starting to get about technical analysis and market trading. The net has a tremendous amount to do with that. We've gone from 2 or 3 years ago. If you wanted to learn technical analysis, you went to Barnes & Noble. You went to one of the other Walden books, and you had to buy one of the classics. You had to buy one of John Murphy's books, brilliant book on technical analysis, or some of the old books on TA. Or you had to go over to the future side of the equation and take a $10,000 course or an $8,000 course or a $6,000 course, and they would teach you pieces of the market. Well, the net's changed that. The information's come flooding in. where you could go to any one of thousands, probably thousands now, websites you could learn about trading, technical analysis for free. The knowledge is not proprietary anymore. The knowledge of TA is becoming a commodity. And as the knowledge of TA becomes a commodity, the barriers are starting to break down where a market guru can sell you something and say, this is your piece of the market. This is what you need to learn. This is the setup or the pattern that you need to have in your hand to become a rich person that you want to be. As this barrier breaks down, it forces you to shift gears in order to become successful. It's not as easy to become successful in the markets as it was 5 years ago. I could trade a symmetrical triangle 10 times the same way 5 years ago and have much more predictable outcomes than if I try to trade a symmetrical triangle now on any chart, because everybody knows what a symmetrical triangle is. And by everybody, if you don't know what it is personally, it's just a common trade pattern. We're all learning about the different aspects of basic technical analysis, and as we all learn about them, we're becoming the crowd. And as we become the crowd, the market finds a way to mess with our brains, to make things not work for us anymore. So we have to take a step back and go, okay, if everybody knows basic TA, if everybody understands basic retail trading, what do we have to do? What's the next step for us to go and be successful in the markets and in our pursuits? And that's a lot of what we're going to talk about. It's going to be some counterintuitive ways of dealing with common setups and some very natural ways to deal with combined setups. But the first thing we have to deal with in order to understand how to approach that is to deal with what I call the master pattern. And we did 90 minutes in New York on what I call pattern cycles. There's a master pattern that sits behind the market that's a mechanism, the primary mechanism for how stock charts are created. And I'm talking stock charts, the futures charts and currency charts. Charts in all time frames and all markets have common features, common cyclical features that repeat over and over again. And we need to take the time to learn what those common features are, internalize them, so that we're able to then go back out and deal with the common setups we see, and also deal with a lot of setups that have no names yet. The market's filled with opportunities, sets, patterns of price bars that have tremendous opportunities, but nobody's named them yet. When we're able to get back into this machine language of the markets, the doors open for us to deal, number one, with opportunities come along that nobody knows about, and number two, to come up with new strategies to deal with the opportunities everybody knows about. The master pattern is a simple, in my mind, it's a simple process. It's nothing you haven't heard of when you really think about it. Look at this great time on Intuit. I don't know if any of you folks traded any of the Intuit rise and fall, but all a pattern cycle is about rise and fall. Markets make bottoms. Markets break out from bottoms. They trend. They go up, 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 pull back, up, 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 pull back. Eventually, they make a top, or they reach a climax. I don't even think it's recognized as the top at a point of a climax. They go through a sideways period, a period of loss of faith among investors, and then they start to lose the sponsorship they had. They break down into a downtrend. They go down, down, down. They get pushed further and further until some point they make another bottom. This cycle of bottoms, breakouts, new highs, tops, breakdowns, declines, lows goes on and on and on in all markets and in all time frames. We have to internalize this so we can pick up any stock chart in any time frame and within 5 seconds decide whether at that moment in time there's a possible opportunity for us. And everyone in this room has the ability to do that once they start to deal with the master pattern. Let's look at some features of the master pattern. Number one, it's three-dimensional. You can't look at the market in a single time frame. Well, we said we've made one caveat to that. If you're a mutual fund holder and you've got monthly charts or weekly charts, I think one chart's enough for you. You know, long-term, the little wiggles in the market don't matter that much. But as you come in closer and closer and closer, as you become more of a swing trader or a day trader, looking at the markets in one dimension, looking at the markets in one time frame is lethal. It's absolutely lethal. One of our problems is, have you ever seen the three-dimensional chess sets that are so intimidating? And real, you know, real brains, geeks play them, and I mean, it's three chess sets up one above the other, and somehow you're making moves not only along this plane, but along this plane and that plane. Rubik's Cube kind of thing. The markets operate their trends independently within each time frame that exists. For the purposes of sanity, you deal with three time frames. You deal with a short-term time frame, an intermediate time frame, and a long-term one. Now, that means different things to different people, and you'll all define it differently based on how long you hold your positions. But you need to look at the market in three dimensions in order to find those points in time and space where everything lines up. Everything fits together in a nice, neat little package, and moments converge. Times converge, and those are the points of opportunity in the markets when time frames line up to show opportunities in all three points, in the short term, in the intermediate, and the long term. That's where your risk is lowest. That's where your reward is highest. Three-dimensional time frames. Perhaps I should define, before we take the next slide, exactly what I consider swing trading to be and the history of swing trading. And this will take about 60 seconds. Swing trading that's being called swing trading these days is the term that came out to counter the term day trading after Mark Barton killed all those people. What's being called swing trading these days, we used to call it position trading, I believe. I can't quite see the difference between what I've always considered position trading being and what's being called swing trading. And it's actually an incorrect. Swing trading is a fairly narrow strategy that's been used for many decades. I don't know if George Taylor, who wrote in the early 1950s a book on the a piece on the three-day swing, if that's the origin. That's the farthest origin that I recall personally. That is a classic counterintuitive type of trading where you sell at resistance and you buy at support, and you sell at resistance and you buy at support. You know, you buy and sell short, and you buy and you sell short. But swing trading is really, in my mind, a time frame independent strategy. It has nothing to do with the period of time you hold the stock. It has everything to do with how you treat the stock chart that you're trading on, because that's where the swing is. Probably you go back 20 years, we couldn't be swing traders on an intraday basis, because you couldn't trade on the 5-minute chart 5 years ago. There's absolutely no reason you can't be a swing trader on a 5-minute chart now. I call it intraday swing trading. It's a cool enough term. Is that day trading, or is day trading scalping? I mean, you know, the definitions get really mixed up. I swing trade. I consider myself to be a swing trader, but I don't know positions overnight very often right now. This is a personal preference. But I consider it swing trading because I'm using the 5-minute chart along with a 1-minute chart and a 60-minute chart in order to choose my opportunities. Three time frames, one above your point of interest and one below your point of interest. Use the chart above your point of interest in order to find your risk and reward. You use the chart below your point of interest in order to focus your timing. So if I'm making a trade on a 5-minute chart, I'm using the 60-minute chart to figure out where it's going and how much money I might make on it, how much money I might lose on it. I use the 1-minute chart to find where it looks like it's going to turn. Three-dimensional charting. Expansion, contraction. And if anybody was in Linda's presentation this morning, that's the first place I ever heard of it, was in LBR's tapes from prior TAG conventions. The markets expand and contract. They expand and contract. They move through ranges and trends. Through ranges and trends, the markets trend 15 to 20% of the time. They're stuck 75 to 80% of the time. Did I get that right? Maybe it's 80 to 85% of the time. A lot of times, the mistake you make in your positions is that you think you're buying a momentum trade and you're stepping into a range. And that range messes you. I saw it, and I don't have the slide today. I think it was on Rambus. And if you know the Rambus history, it went from like 100 to 400 in 2 weeks. I mean, it was amazing. or the 2 months, maybe I have it wrong. Well, we looked at that, and there were about 5 good days to make money on Rambus, and like the other 30 days, you would have lost it. Because almost all of the market ramping takes place in a very short period of time compared to the amount of time where you're sort of stuck in between. Now, you know, one person's range is another person's trend. This is on a daily of eBay. Well, there's a lot going on in here if you're an intraday trader. There could be trends going on in here. It's that three-dimensional thing again. There's a lot to be done here. If your time frame's right, we could pull up another chart of eBay and you're going to see trend going on. But in the daily, and another reason why it's so important to keep track of all your time frames, in the daily was saying it's going to get so high and it'll probably stop. And if we happen to step into a trade on the intraday, right where that daily was saying it was going to stop, the intraday could have looked perfect. But the daily was saying you're at the top of the range. And you know what? The daily traders were coming in selling that as you were buying it and you were getting clobbered. The interface, a positive negative feedback, another LBR phrase, the first place I heard it. Positive feedback. The markets move to a point of contraction, and negative feedback, which is essentially a range-bound market. Positive feedback is a directional market. It's moving from one place to another. Negative feedback, it's going back and forth between two points. Traditionally, swing trading takes place in the places where the market's either pulling back or getting stuck between two points. The markets tend to contract just before they move from negative into positive feedback. They tend to get real, real quiet. I call it the empty zone interface. They tend to get very, very quiet. Volume tends to drop. Things get to turn around, start getting real boring. And you as a trader, probably 2 bars before that breakout, say nothing's happening here and go on to the next trade. New trends come out of boredom. Movement comes out of non-movement. Volatility comes out of a lack of volatility. There's a cyclical process here that messes with you from the standpoint of just at the point where you turn away, that's the point you should be paying the most attention. And it's really important when it comes to trade setups. Classic example, a symmetrical triangle that sits there and comes to a point and then explodes. That point is that empty zone interface, the apex. They call it the apex of the triangle. That type of contraction exists throughout the markets, not just in a symmetrical triangle. And you've got to talk about triangles because they're the most common form of setups that exist, I believe, in the markets that I could find, other than, you know, just double tops and double bottoms. Opportunity comes in a lot of interesting ways. We have to learn to look at so many different pieces of the market to find where our money lies. This slide actually skips ahead to show a trade I call it. It's a Mesa reversal, Mesa top reversal, which is a form of a double top. Markets love to repeat what they do in the past. They love to repeat it in the future. I call them trend mirrors. You've got to look back at what's happened in the past in order to figure out what's going to happen in the future. And one way to define your reward on a trade is to see where the movement was in the past in the other direction, and then watch what happens when it comes back and heads into that price range again going the other way. You tend to have similarity in angle and angles of movement when prices pass through similar ranges over time. It's a very, very interesting trade, and it's a very, very hard trade to make in a single dimension. Now, how do you decide where? And this isn't a talk about Fibonacci. There's some Fibonacci stuff on here, and it's not really a talk about trend mirrors, but it really brings up the point about external influences and how external influences affect the success of your trade setups. Here's the identical trade. It's on a 5-minute chart on Altera. But it has a little bit more information to give you in terms of timing. At exactly the same time that Altera was breaking down at exactly the same point, this is on a 5-minute chart. The other one was a daily. NASDAQ was forming a descending triangle, I believe, and in the process of breaking down. This is about external information. You can have the best trade set up in the world, and if larger forces are set against you, Your trade setup won't work the majority of the time. Sometimes you get lucky. Some of us like to go against the grain of the market. We want to trade our up stock on a down day. We want to trade, go short on a big uptrending day. The odds favor you following the larger forces within the market. I like following the odds. That's probably not for everybody. But as a rule, quote unquote, you're better off following the larger influences of the market, making sure they support the strategy that you have that day, making sure they support the setup that you're working with that day, because it improves your odds. And everything, every setup's about odds. There's no perfect rule or no perfect law. Everything you do has a chance to fail on you, to turn on you. What you're trying to do is increase the odds to the point where your reward is highest and your risk is lowest, and then you go, well, it's acceptable to me. What I can lose here is acceptable, and certainly what I can make here is acceptable. Use of external influences. And I don't think I have a chart or anything about NYSE tick, but you add something like NYSE tick to short-term trading to show a buy swing oscillation in the market, it adds a tremendous amount of information to what you do on that short-term time frame. Execution. How do we decide whether or not to execute a trade and when to execute a trade? I define that as 2 points. Number one, the EZ, which is the execution zone, and ET, which is the execution target. The execution zone is the point where we start to pay attention. Something in the market tells us the price is approaching our point of opportunity. And this is on a 5-minute chart. I traded this. I made the half a point on it. But it's exactly the same thing for a daily chart or a monthly chart, exactly the same thing. How do you know where to look? How many times have you been in the situation where you turn your back, something happens? You get up and go to the bathroom, if you're an intraday trader, and you come back and it's happened and you missed it. Or you see a nice setup in your evening study, you expect something to happen in the next couple of days or the next couple of weeks, and you got to go take the kids somewhere, and you come back, it's happened and you missed it. How do you know when to pay attention to your setup? I use the execution zone and the execution target to do that. The execution zone is price action that takes place before the price reaches. There's a price where you want to enter the trade. And we'll talk about breakout points and that kind of thing. You have that defined in advance. You need to know it in advance. You need to know where you want to be in the trade before you make the trade. The price action that takes place before this is what alerts you to the possibility it might happen. If something happens in this particular case, I believe that Nextel, take a look at that last little bounce up there right at 61. It's on a 1-minute chart, I believe, on the very top. Yeah. That little 1-minute chart told me if it breaks that point, that stock, and I already had this, I think this line was already drawn, it's going to go down and test 60. And in my mind, I already felt that anything under 60 was a buy for whatever reasons, whether a Fibonacci or a trend line, whatever it was. So I'm watching the 1-minute chart, and when I see price approach 61 and start to break it, that's the start of my execution zone. That's when I drop everything and I pay attention. I've got my price that I want to be in that trade, and then I find, if it makes a double bottom at 61 and goes away, I miss the trade. I miss it. It goes up without me. And standing aside and missing trades is part of life. And the more you miss good trades, it still make you a better trader. Part of what we'll talk about today also is the fact of how many opportunities you're going to miss. You have no choice. Every trader has to deal with pattern failure now. Pattern failure wasn't even a concept 2 or 3 years ago. Pattern failure arises from the fact that we all know technical analysis. Have folks in this room read Alex Elder's classic, Trading for a Living? In Trading for a Living, he talks about the Hound of the Baskervilles. That's the first place that I read about pattern failure. And we even have an example of a Hound of the Baskervilles here. All a Hound of the Baskervilles is a head and shoulders pattern that gets down to the neckline and then goes straight up. Now, what's that supposed to happen when a head and shoulders completes and goes down to the neckline? It's supposed to break down. Well, almost every popular trade these days has the capacity to be a good trade in the opposite direction. Now, that wasn't true a couple years ago, but that comes out of everybody seeing the same thing at the same time. folks are becoming so knowledgeable in what they're doing, we're becoming so well-informed as traders that classic setups don't work the same way they do. There's so much more money to be made by someone, whoever that someone is, by going against the common way. And you see it if you watch the E-minis, the S&P E-minis. The S&P E-minis look like a porcupine now. I don't know if you follow those on a daily basis, but almost every move in any direction is faded, and so you get a ton of these wiggles that go nowhere. Pattern failure, and I think the first one shows a good example of it. This is a pattern failure example of a parallel price channel or channel break. Channel break's a classic trade. Channel break are two parallel lines. I hope those lines look parallel from there. Yeah, they do. Okay. Channel break is a classic trade in which two parallel trend lines set up. You have to have at least two top points and two bottom points. That and that, and there's even one over here. Once you have at least 4 points that are parallel to each other, you have a parallel price channel, which is a form of a trend line. It's in the trend line family. Now, the classic trade on a channel break is for when price approaches, and this I've never even gave you the opportunity, just so you know, but price will usually approach the top channel, sit there for a little while, and then explode. You expect a huge price bar out of that. Maybe more than one. You get a huge expansion bar move out of a channel break. I mean, that's where the break part comes from. Everybody sees the channel go, and they jump in. This particular one actually had that if you consider the gap to be a huge price move. But anybody who brought that breakout was in for a very, very bad ride. There was so much in somebody's interest or a lack of demand at that point, whatever the reasons were, to go and bring that price right back into that channel. That's a pattern failure. Now, the question is, can we see where the great trade is on this price chart? Because there's a great trade on this price chart. Pattern failure gives us a trade in the opposite direction that's not a common trade, so it's one that we have a better opportunity to make money on. The moment, look at that bar at the moment that price comes back into the price channel. Look at that bar. Look how straight down that is. Now, who are those people selling? Who are the people who are selling at that point to bring that price down like that? Those are the folks who bought the channel breakout. Those are the ones who knew their TA, saw that channel breakout, bought it, and said it's got to be right. Those same folks don't have a good exit strategy. To this day, they don't have a good exit strategy. It's an inefficiency in the market that exists now, and it may exist for a few years with the development of knowledge where, yeah, we see symmetrical triangles, and we know they're supposed to go up. We see double bottoms. We know what they're supposed to do. But when they don't do what they're supposed to do, we're not sure how to act, and we hesitate. In this case, we panic. And you'll see upside and downside panics when pattern failure takes place. And usually, very often, I don't have statistics, the trade in the opposite direction of the expectation is much cleaner, will give you much more money, and be much less faded. There'll be much less noise in the trade when it takes place. Because you've got a panic crowd, in this case, that doesn't know what to do. Your responsibility is to short that stock at 47. It's pretty easy to do once it goes back in. We'll have some other examples. The perfect symmetrical perfect ascending triangle. Ascending triangle, real simple congestion pattern. It's got a horizontal top, and it's got a rising trend line. This is one of the most perfect ascending triangles I've ever seen. And traders see these things, especially when they get near the end of it and they start jumping on board, because ascending triangles are supposed to go up. Usually on any setup, there's a point of success and there's a point of failure. Two different trades. Breakout through the top, you know, on good volume, that's a breakout trade. Breakdown from that ascending line. As soon as it crosses that ascending line, is a pattern failure. Now, yeah, it could spike down and go back up, but you know what? As soon as it breaks that line, all those people who bought that pattern in there start to feel trapped, and that's why these things start to drop like rocks. And it works in both ways. Again, we're talking about a Hound of the Baskervilles, a head and shoulders pattern that goes straight up. The reason it goes straight up is that the folks who are selling into that head and shoulders pattern don't know what to do when it goes the other way. Sometimes things work out both ways. Sometimes what's good the first time is bad for you the second time. Here's about a day on Adobe. It's on a 5-minute bar also. Nice symmetrical triangle the first time. Does what it's supposed to do. Nice overnight gap. So much of the money's overnight. I mean, it's amazing how they, for intraday traders, they take the profit away from you. This is from one day, and that next day it opens up and does what it's supposed to do. I guess a swing trader or an overnight trader would have made money on this thing. And then immediately starts to form a new symmetrical triangle. Well, consider all the people that saw this one. So they start jumping into that one. And what evolves is actually another classic form of pattern failure. Look what happens at the apex of the symmetrical triangle. First, you get a little breakout. It's the first little circle up there. And then it immediately turns around and crosses the apex in the other direction. Gives you another opportunity, pulls back to that Boken trend line, and pullbacks are very important for everybody in terms of second chance opportunities, and then loses about three and a half points. The good thing about pattern failure as a rule, as a general rule, is that once a pattern fails, chances are it can't fail again. In other words, once something breaks out and fails, it's very hard. For example, this one breaks out and then fails the apex, which is really the classic breakout point of a symmetrical triangle. Once it breaks that point, the chances of it getting back over that point again are very slim, because folks who wanted to buy that stock bought it when it broke out. When it comes back up to that point, there's no demand. You can't mess with the market's mind more than a limited number of times for any particular fade. That's going to be one of your advantages in terms of how we deal with common setups. I don't believe in trading with the crowd. I believe in three things: trading ahead of the crowd, trading behind the crowd, or fading the crowd. Now, what does trading ahead of the crowd mean? Trading ahead of the crowd means getting into a good opportunity before they do, and then letting them push price up and push price down, and when they're excited, getting the heck out. Stepping behind the crowd is letting something go, letting them do all the work, letting them get faded, and then when things pull back, then jumping in if it's a good breakout or a good breakdown. Fading the crowd is seeing everybody on one side of the trade and saying, I got to get on the other side of the trade. In my mind, those are the best ways to trade swing and swing opportunities. That's a very wide spectrum of trades, a wide spectrum of setups. Now, who's the crowd? The crowd is all that stuff that happens on the time and sales screen if you're a real-time trader, that wild burst of energy that takes place on the time and sales screen when something hits a known support and resistance point. You know where it is. You know, when that puppy gets above 25, it's going to go. You know, hits 25, and all of a sudden that screen just psht, psht. The crowd on a daily chart is in the volume bars. Big spiking volume bars. The crowd, they showed up. Same difference. Time and sales screen for me is the same as green and red price bars, green and red volume bars on a daily chart. That's my volume on intraday. I don't use volume bars on intraday charts. Now we're going to take it to the next point. We're going to show some common trades and some of the things that could commonly happen. Trades that I really like and trades that also cause grief, and show how the market can be really perverse, too. The first one is a cup and handle. Cup and handle breakout is defined by William O'Neill. I'm sure it was around before it was defined in his book, which was written in the early 90s. He's the founder of Investors Business Daily. Cup and handle is what happens after a double top. Whenever the market makes an intermediate high or low, it tends to return and test that intermediate high or low. My philosophy is always, you never buy the first test of a new high. You never sell the first test of a new low. With modifications, and you know, you do 90 minutes on modifications, but as a general rule. But after the first test, after you've already shaken all the folks who decided to sell that and you've gotten rid of all the short sellers, when the market pulls back the next time, it's ready to go in whatever direction it was suggesting, whether this third high breakout or a third low breakdown. And I always use that 1-2 breakout, 1-2 breakdown. A high, a failed test of the high, pulls back, it goes. It's a cup and handle breakdown. A low, a test of the low, double bottom, pulls back to that point and breaks down. That's a common way of looking at the market, looking at it in threes. Never jump again on that first test of any point. It takes a lot of discipline because you want to. You see this thing went up to, I don't know, 11.5. And it's a low volatility stock. Went up to 11.5. Comes back to 11.5. You go, oh, that's the high price. It's reached its 52-week high by a tick or whatever on this daily chart. And so people jump in and buy. And there's an awful lot to be gained by fading that. Those types of breakouts, for the stock to break out at that point is very uncommon after all of this. This isn't the same thing as that stock reaching a new high and then getting a little thing here. There's a big difference here. Okay, sometimes you get a little flag down there and the stock's ready to go higher. The nature of the correction that takes place after that first high tells you a lot about the chances for failure and how much time it spends doing this. This stock was not ready to go any higher at this point after all this stuff going on. Is it in the chart in the book? No. It's a daily chart. And I do want to mention to you, and I'll do this for any folks here. I have the chapter in the syllabus, which was written 2 months ago. It's been completely rewritten. I just by the nature of time frame, I did another edit on it. Anybody who'd like a copy of it, along with the graphs, just send me an email at trader@hardrightedge.com, and I'll send you a copy of it. A compressed zip format, whatever. And I'll send you all the current charts on it. I submitted that probably the last week of May, and my book deadline, that is from a chapter from the book, or partial of a chapter from the book, was in July. And I did a lot of work on it after that. I wasn't real happy with a couple of things in there. Just to tell you, if you'd like a better version and you like the graphics, just let me know, and I'll send those to you. Okay? Let's break down the trade a little bit, because this is some Fibonacci stuff, and I don't want to spend a lot of time on Fibonacci, but you're always looking for, I bet you William O'Neill would just be a great Fibonacci trader. You're always looking for the nature of the pullback after the second high, and a two-thirds retracement, a retracement of the 62%, is very, very common when a stock's getting ready to break out after the second high. It's usually a great buy point, especially when you get moved down a time frame. You've got a double bottom sitting there, right at the 62% retracement. One of the reasons this area over here is framed, I want to talk about fractals in the market. If you take a look at that shaded box, I'm not sure if you see it, but there's another cup and handle within that. Take a little time to see it. Cup and handles do not have to be horizontal. They could be slanted. The most bullish ones are ones that are slanted down a little bit. Anything that's slanted up a little bit on a long side trade it eats up demand. It's like a rising wedge. It's a little bit, it's not as bullish. But you could have a cup and handle that's slanted down at an angle, so your breakout point is not even at the old high. You've got, I'm going to trace it for you right now. First high, bottom, second high, pull back, and go. But you see, I'm talking that being a test, that point being a test of that high. Now, how it's hard to see, but congestion patterns use up supply and demand in an efficient manner. That congestion pattern was just as powerful. This congestion pattern right in here is just as powerful as this one, and there's a lot of commonness. I don't know if you'd bring your eyes in from one to the other, but what happens in this little space right here is very similar to what happens in this little space right here. And there are a couple other things in it which tell you that's a good breakout point. Now, there are plenty of places that you decide to buy it depending on your time frame. You know, real aggressive traders, they go and buy things They could buy a second test of a Fibonacci retracement, and a second test of a double bottom. Aggressive traders, because they know they're wrong. As soon as it gets down about here, you know you're wrong. Doesn't take very much for you to find out you're wrong. Less aggressive traders, there was an excellent little trend line that was drawn right there. You could have bought the breakout right over 10 and just taken that thing. And I would have, the way I trade, I probably take that up to 12 and get out, because I don't like tests myself. It's easier to look afterwards to see that little fractal thing that, than it was when it was happening. But I still would have had a trade on there from about 10 and a half up to the point where it had that double top. So about a point and a half trade. The funny thing about this cup and handle is it does the same thing again. It's the same stock. Here's that breakout point. It's up a little closer. This thing goes up and forms another cup and handle pattern. That's a fractal thing in the market. Markets tend to repeat. And we just saw that with Adobe with its symmetrical triangles. Patterns tend to repeat themselves over and over again in particular markets. You have a congestion before it started, but you have the top, pullback, the test, the pullback, and it goes up again. Same cup and handle thing. And you need real good eyes to see this, and you also need a 60-minute chart to see this. But if you go from 0.3 to 0.5, there's actually another cup and handle in there. I could see it because of the way candlesticks are. The candlesticks actually allows you to move down and see a time frame below. But those last two candles in there actually is a little handle in that. If you look on a 60-minute chart or the next lower time frame chart, it makes it easier to see. Cup and handles are very common trades, but don't consider them just for horizontals. They're very high percentage trades for intraday traders in the afternoons. They set up in the morning, big move in the morning, mess around all day, and about 2:30 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon, they make their handle, and that's where your money can be made. When the market's trending, you'll see that all the time. For me personally, I have the best results using it off of a 5-minute chart, the cup and handles. They're not all that well seen, but they're classic breakout means for the last hour of trading, if you like trading the last hour. I don't have an example here. I think it's on IDPH, on IDEC Pharmaceuticals. Huge cup and handle on a daily chart, and you can see it on the monthly chart as well. It follows all the classic rules. Strictly a horizontal pattern, but don't be bound by the horizontal. If you see it at a downsloping angle, I got to get my directions right here. Downsloping angle with good congestion in what appears to be the handle part of it, that's very, very bullish. If you see it rising, that's bearish. Why is rising bearish and descending bullish? As this rises, people who think there's breakouts going out are coming in and coming in and coming in. What you're looking for is a strong spark of interest to carry the market out of a particular spot. That's why rising wedges, which are things that just, they look like they're breaking out, they keep getting a little bit higher, a little bit higher. They use up all their demand as they're going up, and then they plop over. That's why when you see rising, and I'm not talking about a trend that's going like this. That's not exactly what I'm talking about. More an angle. On what you're using, you probably see it more on a 20 or a 30 degree angle. Mildly rising. Looks like it's going to break to the upside. But each little new high takes out people who keep thinking they see the breakout, keep thinking they see the breakout. Pretty soon that market's overbought and it runs out of interest. It runs out of demand and falls.